This is Fault Lines by Robert Walsh. Did you ever think there might be a fault line passing underneath your living room? A place where your life is lived in the meeting and in separating, wondering and telling, unaware that just beneath you is the unseen seam of great plates that strain through time, and that your life, already spilling over the brim, could be invaded, sent off in a new direction, turned aside by forces you were warned about but not prepared for. Shelves could be spilled out, the level floor set at an angle in some seconds shaking. You would have to take your losses, do whatever must be done next. When the great plates slip and the earth shivers and the flaw is seen to lie in what you trusted most, look not to more solidity, to weighty slabs of concrete poured, or strength of cantilevered beam to save the fractured order. Trust more the tensile strands of love that bend and stretch to hold you in the web of life that's often torn but always healing. There's your strength. The shifting plates, the restive earth, your room, your precious life, they all proceed of love, from love, the ground on which we walk together. This has been quite a stretch of weeks, certainly in the world, but also here at church. As you know, Chris and I will be ending our ministry with you in just a couple of weeks. We will stay on with the congregation through January 20th. I will then move on to a new role at the Unitarian Universalist Association. And because we began our ministry as a team, we will end our ministry with you as a team. Chris will seek settlement in a new congregation. South Church will invite an interim minister for a year or two, and then call a new minister with whom to move into its future. This is a big change. It's a major alteration of the map of the future we imagined stretching before us. It will all unfold into blessings, I feel confident, but it's a shock, even to Chris and me. Change can be profoundly disorienting, and transitions can be stressful, even when they stem from joyous events like the birth of a baby or the move to a new home. The great faith traditions, especially Buddhism, teach us that moments of unexpected change provide valuable instruction. When these moments come, we re-encounter the fundamental groundlessness of life. And if we're wise, we learn to accept that things are always in flux, that although we crave stability and security, the spiritual path invites us to make peace with the changeability of life, to be happy and to thrive. I believe this. But I think it's just as important to learn how to take care of ourselves and one another during times of transition. How to be kind to the part of ourselves that just wants some stable ground on which to stand. So that's what I'd like to offer you this morning. A survival guide, if you will, for those times in life when life is suddenly different than you thought it would be and you have to chart a course into a new reality. So I offer you three things. First, pay attention. Second, take care of yourself. Third, orient yourself to what is healthy and life-giving. First, pay attention. Pay attention to your body, to your feelings, to what is happening around you. Years ago, my friend Katie was leading a group of adolescent girls, I think I told you this story once, on a canoe trip through a wild and remote region of Canada. Katie was a trained guide, and she had prepared thoroughly for the journey. It was a leave-no-trace excursion. They carried everything they needed with them, canoes, clothes, gear, food, and maps. But about a week in, Katie became worried. She realized she was lost, deep in the Canadian wilderness, with a band of adolescent girls. That night in camp, Katie pulled out her map and thought about the terrain through which they had traveled, but she just couldn't reconcile what she'd seen that day with what was on paper. The next day, the group set out again in search of landmarks, but they still couldn't quite get their bearings. By this time, Katie was starting to feel a bit panicky, but the girls had faith in her, and she managed to keep a clear head. She directed them to set up camp. They built a fire, cooked a meal, got some rest, told some stories, and set out again the following morning. Luckily, the next day they spotted a man in a kayak paddling ahead of them, something of a miracle in this remote territory, and they raced after him, yelling and waving their arms, and when they finally flagged him down, they asked, "Where are we?" The man pointed out their location on Katie's map and explained that due to some very heavy rains and something I don't quite understand, frankly, some of the rivers had begun flowing backwards. And this is the reason that my friend couldn't place herself on the map. Armed with this new knowledge, the group set off again, had a great time, and reached home safely. Unexpected change can be disorienting, can cause us to lose our bearings, but remember, when all else fails, pay attention, take care of yourself, and orient to what is healthy, whole, and life-giving. So first is pay attention. Change, whether it's good or bad, begets stress. And actually, stress within certain limits is healthy. Not enough, and people tend to stagnate. There are studies that show that some amount of stress fosters creativity and it enriches our lives. But that is only true up to a point. Each of us has a stress threshold beyond which we just don't function as well. When people are carrying excessive stress, predictable problems begin to occur. Our perception diminishes. We're less able to see and hear and think clearly. We have a harder time paying attention. It becomes difficult to listen. We're also less able to perceive options that are available to us. Whereas under normal circumstances, we might see 7 or 8 avenues to pursue in any given situation, overly stressed people are more likely to see only 1 or 2. And sometimes we fall back on the coping mechanisms of our youngest selves. Whatever our childhood coping mechanisms were, we're much more likely to return to them during periods of big transition. So if as kids we were the family caretaker, the good kid trying to make everyone else feel better, that's a place we're likely to go. If we tended toward aggression, we might lash out as adults. And if we're inclined to isolate and retreat as kids, we'll likely do the same when we encounter more than normal levels of stress. So pay attention. It's always good to hear a kid. So pay attention. If you notice these or other signs of stress during a period of major change, take stock. If your appetite or your sleep habits change, if you feel anxious or overwhelmed, notice that too. And know that if these things are happening, your view of the world might just be skewed. The good news is that there's probably more to see and hear than you are able to take in. And there are probably more options available than you can see from your vantage point. Hold lightly the instinct to fight, fix, or flee. There is probably a gentler, clearer, and more productive way of proceeding. Which brings us to point 2. I have to say, as an aside, I won't do it. I'm not. Point 2, take care of yourself. If you discover that you're past your stress threshold, if you have reason to believe that your family or your community is past its collective stress threshold, practice self-care. Eat healthy food. Make sleep a priority. Do familiar, comforting things. When my friend Katie was lost in the woods with a band of young women in tow, she made camp, built a fire, ate a good meal, and told stories. Rest and ritual. Your spiritual practice, if you have one, family meals, your morning coffee routine, exercise. Don't make drastic changes for a while. Chris is famous for telling his women friends when they're going through a breakup, "This is not a time to get a haircut." At these times, we lean on supports of all kinds, including friends and family. It's best to steer clear of people you find toxic and seek out the ones you love most. Which brings us to point 3. Orient yourself relentlessly to what is healthy, whole, and life-giving. Notice the people around you who strike you as balanced, clear, well, and wise. Seek out their company and follow their lead. Notice the things in your life or your family or your community that are most beautiful and alive and satisfying, and let that be your anchor to health and well-being. First, pay attention. Second, take care of yourself. Third, orient yourself to what is healthy, whole, and life-giving. This is a healthy congregation. There are deep bonds of connection here and committed leadership and great staff and great heart and great vision and faith. Also amazing people and wonderful music. Ministerial transition is a stressor for individuals and for congregations, especially when it's unexpected. But healthy congregations typically weather this kind of congregation well. Healthy congregations are able to honor the emotions of grieving. You remember them, denial and grief and anger and acceptance in no particular order necessarily. Healthy congregations typically weather this kind of transition well and are able to move through the transition into the new possibilities that new leadership brings. Social workers that place children in foster and adoptive homes know all about this phenomenon. Typically, the children that come from the most depleted home lives have the hardest time getting placed. Those that have the most positive experiences on which to draw are able to step more easily into new homes and new families and new relationships. In other words, health begets trust and faith, and trust and faith set the stage for new blessings to emerge. When the unexpected comes, when the plates shift and the world as you understood it is altered, when the river reverses course and you find yourself lost in the landscape of your life, pay attention. Take stock and take care. Lean on the people and practices that nourish you. Orient yourself to what is whole and healthy and life-giving. Beauty, kindness, love, music, humor. These are the true landmarks. The landmarks of an emerging future capable of unfolding into beauty and blessing. When the grape plates slip and the earth shivers and the flaw is seen to lie in what you trusted most, look not to more solidity, to weighty slabs of concrete poured or strength of cantilevered beam to save the fractured order. Trust more the tensile strands of love that bend and stretch to hold you in the web of life that's often torn but always healing. There's your strength. The shifting plates, the rest of earth, your room, your precious life, they all proceed from love, the ground on which we walk together. May it be so. Amen.